Hello and welcome to the Nerd Outcast podcast. Today we discuss the Diablo series. Hello, I'm your host, Chris Bashan. I have assembled a group of nerd experts today. Let me go on and introduce them. To my left is...
Joel Thompson.
Joel, tell us a little bit about yourself as far as video games go in Diablo.
I've played both the games. I've played them a lot.
Have you played the first game?
I didn't run on my computer, so I never have, no.
Okay, cool. And do you play a lot of PC games, or...?
The only PC game I play is Diablo 3, okay. Now at least.
And you play a lot of console games.
That's true, yes.
Cool. And across from me, I've got...
Pete Navis.
Pete, same question to you.
Yep. I played the original Diablo way back when. Diablo 2 with its expansion, and then Diablo 3 this past year.
Cool. And you are a pretty big PC gamer, right?
Yes, particularly role-playing games.
And you've been playing PC games since the 80s, right?
I guess. I mean, if you count, like... non-PC PCs like Commodores and Amigas and things like that.
Okay. I do count Amigas, so.
There we go.
And over here we've got...
Rob Shoemate.
Rob, you have played the entire series, correct?
Yeah, just like Pete.
And you are a PC and console gamer.
Yeah. All of the above, yes.
All of the above. And finally, to my immediate right, we have...
Sean Okerberg. And I've played a little bit of the first one, I seem to remember, but that was a long time ago. Yeah, and I've been playing the second one this last couple weeks up through about Act 3, and I played through the third one not that long ago.
And did you grow up with video games, or are you, like, what type of gamer would you say that you are?
Well, when I was a kid, I guess I played Nintendo, and then... more recently, I've been playing console games mostly.
Cool. And again, I am your host, Chris Bashan. I have also played the whole series, and I would say I grew up with PC and console games, although I would say I do prefer console games, probably, you know, to each his own.
You can play bad games if you want. That's okay.
Yeah, you can too.
Hey,
let's keep it civil. So these are all of our nerd experts, and... strangely enough, I don't think we have an outcast for this show. I think we all have mixed feelings about which game in this particular series is the best game, or if any of them are, in fact, best games or good games. Let's go on and start off with Diablo, which came out in 1996. I guess my first question to all of you would be, for those of you who remember this game, what are your immediate thoughts about the original Diablo?
I was kind of blown away with the idea that all of the maps were generated randomly every time you went to them. Like, that was a new thing in games for me at that time. Maybe I was just sort of behind or something. But that, and it was just so... like, you just played. It felt like the next step from, like, Gauntlet or something like that.
Yeah.
Where you just pick your character class and go.
You know, before we get too much further into that, I guess we should go on and say Diablo, the game itself, is a... kind of falls into the definition of a roguelike... which is a term that takes itself from D&D, which kind of harkens back to some of those text games that were randomized.
Zork.
Yeah, like way, way back in the day. In Diablo, you venture into dungeons that are randomly generated. The items are randomly generated, and you essentially are on your quest to kill Diablo. There are three classes, the warrior, the rogue, and the sorcerer, each with their own... special abilities that they can use. Although, if I remember this game correctly, you could wear or use the powers of other classes, at least in the first one. Yeah. Am I remembering that correct?
Yeah, you had a definite sort of... your class gave you sort of a stat bias in a particular direction, but if you... you know, the only restrictions on gear were stat-based. So if, like, as a wizard, you dumped enough into strength, you could wear heavy armor.
Yeah, each class did have a specific power that the others didn't. The warrior could repair objects in his possession. The rogue could disarm tracks and the traps, and the sorcerer could recharge magical weapons, which I believe the other classes could not do those specific things. But generally, the classes were pretty much the same, or you could build them to be the same near the end of the game. yeah, initial thoughts about it.
Well, I remember one of the big things about that game for me was that was the first game I played online with other people. So, like, it was fun to play, like, with a friend in, you know, another state that I hadn't seen in a while. Or we'd just cart my computer over to his place and, you know, play in the same room together. But that was the first time that had ever happened with me.
I don't actually remember ever playing this, the first one, with someone. The one thing that really stuck out to me about the first game is it came with a shareware version of the game on the disc, so you could lend it to someone and they could install that version and play through the first
two or three levels.
That's how I started playing, which I thought that was a really neat idea, because I mean, you let someone borrow it, they see how amazing it is, and they go out and buy it. And I can't remember games that really did that before then. I'm sure there were some, but this was the first game where that shareware version really grabbed me, and I was like, I have to go buy this. I have to play this. And I think you could play up to the Skeleton King, I think was the first boss that you could get to, and then, which is essentially the first three levels.
It's been years since I've played it.
Well, was this like when they first started really being able to put, because it's also, for me, it's the first time I remember playing with other people. Like my, because I was in college at the time, and I remember,
as was I,
like, we had Doom, and we were, you know, we linked our computers and played that, and I remember that being kind of a big deal. But this was the first one that I really remember being cooperative.
Right. Mm-hmm. And, like, on the internet, as opposed to just plugging a cable into each computer.
Back when you had to dial up your internet and take up the phone line for 2 or 3 hours. I think within the pantheon of Blizzard releases, this is after Warcraft 2.
Okay.
Which I think, which was a huge, that was their huge hit for them. Warcraft was really a big deal, but Warcraft 2 came along and kind of blew it out of the water. So.
Yeah, we used to go take over tech labs and just play Warcraft 2 on the giant screens in the tech labs.
Now, Joel, you said you haven't, you hadn't played the first
one. Never
have. Okay. Yeah, any other thoughts about the first game? I really like that Tristram theme. I think you may have heard it a little too much, but they used it in other games, so...
I remember how pissed I was when the game really didn't end.
Yeah, you get to the end and, like, your character sacrifices himself.
I was so mad.
I never... Spoilers, by the way. I never really understood why he jabs the Soul Stone into his own head. I guess to just contain it.
Because it's cracked, so it can't be outside of a person, or Diablo will get out.
Yeah, but even when I was 16 playing this game, I knew he wasn't going to be able to hold the Lord of Terror at bay.
Yeah, but you're like the strongest person around, like, because you've leveled up to whatever level you are at that point.
True, I don't remember how high low. I think 24 was maybe the cutoff in this game. I don't remember. Yeah. Yeah, true.
Kane sure wasn't going to do it.
Well, now that I know that's the ending, let me go home and play that one.
You can still buy this game.
I own it, actually.
Oh, do you?
Yeah, it didn't work on my computer when I went to install it for whatever reason. So
yeah, some of their
too fast.
Well, some of their older content has a harder time running. One thing I really liked about the first game, which I kind of like about the whole series in general, is I felt the tone and atmosphere of this game was very, very stark contrast to Warcraft. And I think Blizzard's idea to really delve into that gothic, medieval, religious atmosphere and not really pull any punches, I thought was a really great thing. I don't remember my parents having a problem with this, but I know there were issues about, like, satanic imagery and, you know... Yeah.
I love that you say satanic.
I know.
Quotes, when there were, like, pentagrams and candles and blood everywhere.
I guess they were quite literal satanic. But you were hunting Satan. So, I mean, that was good.
Well, and a thing that I liked about that, in respect to the entire series, is that it's not like you're fighting on God's side against the devil.
Yeah.
It's like, basically, you're just fighting for people because you don't want supernatural forces messing with things.
Yeah.
And we learn later that the angels aren't all that nice either. Spoiler!
Did anyone's parents have a problem with any of you playing this game?
Well, you know my
parents.
Oh, they
would have. Had they known I was playing it.
Oh, your parents didn't know?
I mean, it was when I was at college.
Okay. So.
Yeah, me too.
Our dad plays just as many games as we do.
Yeah. Any final thoughts on the first game?
I remember wishing that Diablo had been bigger.
Yeah.
I got to him and I was like, really? He's as big as I am.
Okay. Well, I mean, he was grown from like an 8-year-old, so.
Yeah.
Maybe that was like.
Flash forward to 3, what happened there?
You know, that reminds me, this game, more than the other two, I think was hacked the most by people, because Blizzard hadn't really set up Battle.net to be hack-proof at that point. And I remember one time I was playing the game, and someone had modded their character to look like Diablo. So I signed in, I walked into Tristam, and Diablo walked by at, like, level 40 or something. I don't know. And I was like, nope, not playing this game. And that was something that I'm glad they fixed later on. But the first game was really hackable, and people were really taking advantage of that. And
oh, there were a lot of PKs in the first one.
Yeah, there were.
Well, that was annoying as hell.
Which I don't think you could kill anyone in town. But the moment you stepped out of town,
you
got slaughtered.
But like everything was hackable back then, because we didn't have this like online competition culture where like all of your characters are saved on the server. Like your character is just a file on your computer.
True.
And if you go in and change characters, then suddenly you have different equipment.
Right.
True. Well, that is the first Diablo. Now we jump ahead 4 years to the year 2000. So now we're at Diablo 2, which introduced 5 classes, 2 added later on thanks to an expansion, and beyond that, 4 acts of play rather than just the 1 act that the first game had. To jump off of what Pete said earlier, your character in Diablo 2 is hunting the character from the first game who is slowly going evil, which I thought was really, really cool. Yeah, initial thoughts of the second game. And let me start with you, Joel. Here's the question that I wanted to ask you. If you hadn't played the first game, why did you pick up the second?
My best friend, Peter.
Oh, yeah?
Yep. The only reason. Because I think he had 2 computers, and that's what we would sit and, that's what we would sit and play.
Nice.
So, that's why I played pretty much.
Cool. Thoughts on the second game?
Not that I can think of at the moment, no.
Okay.
I mean, I liked it. It was a cool game. I liked it.
All right, I guess we're done. Let's go.
All right. That's a podcast, guys. Well, let's keep going around then. Thoughts on the second game, guys.
Yeah. I love the way they tell the story, where you've got the sort of the events of the story told through cinematics, and everything that your character is doing actually takes place long after the cinematics that you're seeing. So, like, as you're completing a section of the game, you see what happened to set up the next thing that you're going to have to deal with.
Yeah.
I like that, too. I thought the cinematics were pretty good, even because
I actually played
3 first, and then, like I said, this last couple weeks I've been playing through 2, so that's, you know, 13 years after the fact. And they were still good. I mean, the motion capture is not great, but the artwork was still pretty good. And I did like that aspect of the story too, because it's not just, you know, filling in a part of your own story. It's more like you're looking at the events that are affecting what you're doing.
Yeah, I think the narrative that they set up for the second game and the way they approach it, is much better and probably stronger, I would argue, than even the third game. And there's something about following the story of Marius that is really, really interesting. And you're right, Pete, the way it sets up his actions and what he goes through setting up what you're about to do is really, really fascinating, especially at the very end of the second game.
Is Marius the...
He's the old crazy man.
He's the one who travels with the wand.
He's like, narrating everything.
I love that it's from his point of view, because then you get the... You know, you don't just get somebody who's going insane. You get somebody who's watching someone go insane, which, for me, is more interesting because he's afraid and he's trying to get away from this, but he can't. And
I hate to tell you this, but probably in a few minutes we're going to spoil the rest of 2 for you.
I think there's a time limit as far as being able to be surprised.
Like a 12-year-old game.
I can't complain too much.
Did you guys like the inclusion, again, of the angels in 2?
I thought that was great, because I don't think the angels are in the first game at all. They're mentioned in the instruction booklet, but they don't actually appear.
They talk about the war.
They talk about the heaven war and the sin war. Yeah, I like that Tyrael actually shows up, and I like that he is kind of an asshole. I feel it kind of takes that same tone that Supernatural, the TV show, takes as far as in reference to heaven and hell being at war, and humanity is just kind of
that there. Show that stopped at season 5, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like the tone of the angels and the demons as well. Just sort of, it's not. They're kind of doing their own thing, and humanity is just kind of a consequence, or just kind of a.
Well, one thing about the second game that I wanted to address right now are the classes and the stat system, the skill trees, which World of Warcraft would eventually take on later on. This game really expands your ability to create your specific hero, more so than the first one. And for two people to create very different types of heroes, even if they're using the same character class.
Were there sockets in the first game? Because I don't remember.
I don't think so.
That came about in the second game, right?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
But yeah, like I love the fact that in the second game I could play the druid and the necromancer, because I just love having a character that can create a giant army of little stuff that can go and fight on my behalf.
Loved the necromancer. I did.
Yeah.
And like the necromancer particularly, like he's not a heroic guy. Like all his little quotes and stuff, like he's perfectly happy to see the world fall into ruin, but at his own terms.
You know? Yeah.
I think you should do maybe a quick overview of the classes that we're into.
In two, you have the barbarian, the Amazon, the necromancer, the paladin, the sorceress, and then later on the assassin and druid.
Oh yeah, the Amazon. I remember enjoyed playing her too.
I think she is the one class I have never played.
I think when we played together, you played the necromancer and I played the Amazon.
Oh, nice. Yeah, I don't think I've ever touched the Amazon.
No, you haven't. But, okay, so, yeah, it was really cool to be able to just, like, sort of pick and customize your character. What was frustrating was that there really were best ways to play.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, I had my druid with all his awesome little wolves and crap and that he could summon, and you can't beat Diablo with that character.
Yep, mm-hmm. There are some difficulties with this game, mainly the difficulty of the game. Certain boss fights particularly are hard to do depending on how you spec your character. Pete, I had a similar problem. I played a sorceress the first time and thought fire magic was cool. So I went the fire route, which is completely useless against Diablo. Game.
So then you've got your one like level one ice spell sitting there.
Now, there's something I've noticed playing the second game again recently. When this game first came out, could you respec your stats?
No.
You can do that now. You can go to Act 1 and talk to someone in town, and you can completely remove all of your skill points.
Are you sure you couldn't? Hmm.
I don't remember
That was part of the problem that I had with it.
That was the issue. Like,
you can't respec anything. So once you made your choice, you made your choice.
Yeah.
But I also kind of like that. I felt like that gave it a lot of replay value. Like, you could play through the game with, you know, this character class set up this way. And if you wanted to try that class a different way, you start from scratch and you do it. Like, you know, I appreciate that. Like, I get the whole, like, oh, we want everybody to be able to do everything, but like, make me make choices.
No, I like making choices. I don't like poor game design, and I would argue that some of those boss fights are stacked.
Call Blizzard.
Are stacked in favor of certain classes and certain spec builds.
I want to talk to them about something else.
I had a similar problem that you had, Pete. I played the druid, and I wanted to summon all of nature to my wrath. So when I got to Diablo, he banishes everything, and I'm kind of screwed.
Yeah, I agree. I have that trouble with other games, too, that where if you just happen to not choose this right path or whatever, you can't defeat a certain person. I think Star Wars Old Republic, or the Knights of the Old Republic 1, it was the same thing. Like, I reached the last guy, and I didn't happen to choose on my main character one thing that he needed to be able to defeat him, and I just thought that was Yeah, like you said, poor game design, because...
Now, how far are you in 2? Because you're playing it right now.
3, yeah.
The end of Act 3.
So you haven't destroyed your character yet.
Well, we'll talk about the strengths and weaknesses of each game. Before we jump to Diablo 3, there was an expansion to Diablo 2 called Lord of Destruction, which follows Bale. Spoiler.
Oh, Bale, sure.
Yeah. Diablo 2 ends with a great cliffhanger of Marius handing the Soul Stone to who he thinks is Tyrael. And then at the end of the game, you find out it has not been Tyrael talking with him the whole time. It's Bale, disguised as Tyrael. So he takes the Soul Stone, he kills Marius, he sets the building on fire, he walks out, and they basically...
No.
Yeah, I don't know why I just didn't grab it back. I don't know, whatever. Yeah. And then you pretty much have to go out and buy the expansion, because you have to know what happens next. The expansion adds a fifth act and 2 classes, the Assassin and Druid. It also, I think, changed some of the other gameplay elements as far as gems dropped more often. Stat items randomized, and they gave you stronger items essentially. And I think it introduced the rune system.
Yes, stupid runes.
Yeah,
the rune system came into it in the end expansion.
They were all like syllables, and they would like give you different bonus.
It was like Tal, Ekral, and whatever else.
Word on an item, it would give you a better bonus.
Oh yeah,
but you had to build this. Like, not everything was a word, so you would put like Tal Ek Ith, which didn't do anything, but Ith Ek Tal would give you a massive bonus.
Just one of those stupid things that you had to look up on the internet.
Yeah, I think I was going to say that's exactly what it had. That's why I don't remember it, because I just looked up stuff on the internet and didn't really pay attention to it.
Yeah, we're already through 3, and I've never used one of those. Like, I've only have one socketed item actually. So yeah, it seemed did it used to be a bigger part of the game, or is it just kind of a
incidental? Like, if you play in a higher difficulty level.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah, difficulty levels in 2, right?
Yeah, they do.
Crazy. Okay. Yeah.
Will.
Yeah. Yeah, like they like socketed stuff gets more critical the higher up you get.
Okay. Yeah. They took that to town in 3.
Well, let's go on and talk about 3. 12 years later, 11 years later, in 2012, Blizzard finally bestowed upon us the sequel to Diablo 2, Diablo 3, which scaled back to 5 classes: the Barbarian, the Witch Doctor, the Wizard, the Monk, and the Demon Hunter. Sporting a new graphics engine, this game essentially plays like the second game. It's still a roguelike.
He stopped talking.
Yeah, stopped talking. Now it still plays like a roguelike. Your character. Well, yeah, I don't really want to talk too much about the narrative of 3. You're still fighting the forces of evil in Diablo. I felt the narrative of this game was probably significantly weaker.
What?
Yeah.
No.
Because in the second game, you're fighting primevals, but in this one, you're fighting lesser primevals. It's like,
well,
not at
the end.
You know.
But they ran out of them.
You've got to take the previous narrative into account.
Like, you do.
You beat those already.
You do. But I mean, it's like, I don't know, it's like going to Mordor and then going to the grocery store.
The grocery store
turns into Mordor, prime evil, whatever.
It's like they had boxes of instant Mordor on the shelf all along.
True. Initial thoughts on 3. I know a lot of us were waiting a long time to play this.
I really enjoyed 3.
Okay. What'd you like?
I like playing all of the characters. Like all of them. I enjoyed all the classes. I didn't with previous entries. I liked the narrative. I did. Because I was wondering what the hell they were going to do now that they had all the primevals, you know, corralled. And they do. They come up with a plausible storyline to actually, you know, even, spoiler, bring Diablo back into it.
Although it's not Diablo the primeval. It's not Diablo Lord of Terror, it's Diablo Super Devil.
Well, it's
he's all, but he's that's all the evil.
The power of all of
right,
the
right.
evils.
Yeah. Right, right.
Yeah.
He's even worse.
And it's like he set this up from the beginning. Although, if I remember correctly, wasn't there some sort of story element that they just pulled out of the air and said, here, eat this? The king's son?
They sort of like retroactively, and this also bugged me, like in the first game, you could play as any of 3 classes. Well, in the second game, they decided that it was only, like, the warrior from the first game who was going to turn into Diablo. Well, then in the third game, they were like, oh, also that warrior was the king's son.
Blizzard,
which has never been mentioned up till this point.
Blizzard has never been hesitant to choose how a game ended, because they did that with Warcraft. Because you could play Warcraft either as orcs and humans. Warcraft 2 goes on the assumption that the orcs won the first game.
Mm-hmm.
And then Warcraft 3 goes under the assumption that the humans won the second game, I think.
Or they take the ball and
Yeah. Anyway, that's Warcraft.
Yeah.
But yeah, yeah, they re-canon some of the elements of the history of the world. Yeah, so initial thoughts.
Yeah. I really enjoyed the story. I felt like they left enough threads of their story hanging in very major ways to set up an expansion or another sequel without feeling clumsy about the way they did it.
Mm-hmm.
The classes were great, things were like that. I felt like they really lost some things.
What did you know? Let's talk about the elephant in the room. They completely stripped out the ability to choose where your attributes go and to choose your skills. And skill trees are completely gone at this point.
Yeah.
So if two people are playing the same barbarian, they will eventually have access to all the same skills. True. At the same levels. I feel what they were really going for is the difference in these characters is their gear.
Yeah, this one's really gear heavy. I think this game, the way they decided to do the design on this one was entirely because of World of Warcraft. Because of the skill trees they did with World of Warcraft, and I think they had a lot of what they thought was success with that. I think the biggest downfall of this game is actually the auction house, because they have gotten so gear-heavy that unless you have amassed an amazing amount of gold, you're not doing much with it.
Well, and you really should never be using the stuff that drops. Because right. You can go in the auction house, and for a relatively small amount, you can buy, like, the best gear available for your character at your level. Which takes most of the fun out of the game.
Yeah.
Like, the fun was, oh, I'm fighting, this random thing dropped with, like, all these crazy stats. I'm just going to try using it. You know, and that just about never happens in 3. Because you've got access to all of the gear that everybody from around the world is selling.
And now, I don't know, did they ever, because I haven't played it in a while, but did they ever get the cash auction house up and running where you could pay real money?
Yeah.
It's really just like, it's 8,000 teenagers in China, you know, making like 50 cents an hour doing that. Like, you're never going to find an item that you're going to make, like, oh, I'm going to make my living playing Diablo.
If you can use the auction house, you've got to play the game for a long time in order to be able to amass enough anyway.
You can play the same act over and over and over again to amass wealth.
Yeah, I mean, you can...
Well, I suppose you could, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, if you wanted to.
And what I really ran into also was like playing through on the normal difficulty was fine. Like, that was cool. I was using what dropped and all that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Then as soon as you start stepping up to the higher difficulty levels... like, what is it? Is it Hell Difficulty is the highest one? Like, I hit
Inferno.
I hit Act 1 of that and stopped. Like, I could not go two steps into Act 2
in
Inferno.
It was all about
that. What level would you be at if you were going
max? You're max level.
You've been
60 for a long time.
Okay.
So you've been 60, then you got into your Paragon
and you just have to keep playing Act 1 over and over again to build up cash to get gear. They've made changes to the game since then because everybody was like, this is obnoxious. To make it, like, they've really increased how much stuff drops, but I'm like, come on. You had 12 years to make this game.
True.
So,
you did.
But the other big thing that bugs me is that they lost almost all of the randomness of their maps.
Yeah.
You know, I tried to look, when I was researching for this podcast... There is randomness to the maps.
I didn't feel that there was. This tree is over here instead of over here.
Is that what it
is?
Or you
got this one of these three dungeons that could appear in this area.
Okay.
But when you play through it so many times, you start to realize where stuff is going to be.
Well, when I was playing through it with my second class, it didn't feel randomized.
Right.
But supposedly it is, just not to the extent that the second game is. Right.
It's random in the way that, like, the arrangement of your living room furniture is random. I mean, like, you could shuffle it around, but it's still all your furniture and it's all in the same room. That was just how I felt. I didn't feel like I had to look for things.
Yeah, it made the game, I don't know, it made the game more predictable than I would care for it to. Which is a shame, because the graphics are really nice. A lot of the storytelling that they do in the game is good, you know? But yeah, it's kind of frustrating when you know exactly where you're going all the time.
Julian, it gets kind of boring. I seem to disagree, or you had a strong reaction when I said it didn't seem random anymore.
No, it's not that I don't think... I mean, having played through it recently, no, I think that there is plenty of randomization inside of it. I think that when, you know, I mean, like, the same basic... I think there is more than what... Maybe not so much in, like, the main area if you walk out into mm-hmm. it, but I think inside of dungeons there's a little bit of more randomness. And then I also think that in order... If there isn't enough randomness inside of it, you've also got the events inside of it that happen also, which are random, and true. You may or may not run into that particular
right. Like
event.
some of the sub that, sections are yeah. way more interesting than things in the other games were.
Right. True,
but
yeah.
I come across the same ones all the time.
Maybe you've just played it enough that there's not.
Well, I mean, it's still random, so you may get that same one every single time.
Yeah,
but.
Yeah, I felt like in 2, like when I go out, it's, you know, it could be anything. Like it's a totally different game from yesterday when I played this right. exact mm-hmm. same area.
Sometimes that's a really bad thing.
Yeah, I mean, if you're trying to progress, but yeah. it gave the like with 3, I got like I would get ahead a little bit, and then when I was playing with you guys, that I would go, you know, maybe go back, and then it was like, oh yeah, I already did this. Killed this guy before, and whereas in 2 it feels like even if you go back you it would be totally different.
At first with 3 I really liked the item crafting, and then I realized I hated it because I was never using any of the stuff I was making.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then by the time you get up to the level 60 mark, you had to have the tomes. And then what's it after
yeah.
that?
Yeah, it was like...
Tome of Secrets.
You needed them mm-hmm. before you could get them.
Yeah, and that made no sense to me and was really frustrating.
I felt like I played World of Warcraft, and I feel like that is good in World of Warcraft because, you know, I haven't played that in a while, but when I did, it's all a part of the game, whereas this one, it felt like it was just kind of, here's something else to do.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't feel like going into this dungeon.
Well, just to throw some numbers out there, Diablo 2 sold 4 million in its first year. Diablo 3 sold 3.5 million on its first day. It sold 6.3 million in its first week and was the fastest selling PC game of all time. I think a Call of Duty has come out since then, and that may be the fastest selling PC game of all time now.
I have maybe a suggestion as to why those numbers, because
well, you have digital downloads now.
11 years you have passed.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
True. Hey, what's this game you got here? Yeah, borrow it, man. It's a lot of fun.
That's true.
Well, and it's like the kids of people who played Diablo
are now playing Diablo 3. Right.
Well, yeah, so. And video games are much more of a.
Not that any of us have kids.
I mean,
please, God no.
StarCraft kind of did kind of the same
kind of
thing.
Did the same thing.
I played StarCraft for years.
Well, and nowadays, like, a video game gets, like, its premiere announcement that it's in development, like, 4 years before anybody ever sees it. Mm-hmm. And then they just market the crap out of it for, like, a year beforehand. It's all, ooh, BlizzCon, new video!
I remember the countdown. Wasn't there... They did like a month-long countdown for this,
like
where
the
they showed
frozen
a
webpage.
Frozen webpage, and then you think it's going to be something Warcraft-related, and then the day of the reveal, it's Diablo-related. They did something similar for StarCraft, too.
Hell, it's about time.
Yep.
That was their tagline.
They've learned how to market.
Yeah.
They've gotten really good at it.
Well, when I heard there was a game and I was going to the site, that came out of my mouth before I saw the site.
Yeah.
Hell, it's about time.
Yeah. So that is a quick overview of the Diablo trilogy. So guys, we're essentially at what I call the free-for-all section now, where we can discuss specific things about the games, complaints, whatever. I noticed one thing we didn't really chat about for Diablo 3 was the classes.
Well, first of all, I played the Barbarian in 2 and 3, and then I played a little bit of the Demon Hunter in 3, but the Barbarian seemed very different. Like, in 3, I felt like you didn't have to worry about anything. Like, you could just run around, just...
That
just,
depends just on what level you're on. Level yeah. you're in.
Okay.
The first, and I would almost say the second levels, you're not really worrying about anything.
Yeah.
But once you hit the third and fourth levels,
you don't have the gear
watching.
For it, you're right. screwed.
Yeah, like, whereas in 2, I had to be very careful if I'm not playing with someone else.
Is it you have to be careful about your gear, or are you forced to actually have to play with someone else in order to be able to survive in the higher levels of 3?
Because it ups the monster's level as well.
So much damage.
Right, right.
Even if you're playing with somebody, it really doesn't make much of a difference. Because the playstyle Barbarian I had, I geared it to play with other people.
Yeah.
I would jump in, pull all the monsters to me, and then let everybody else go to town. At that point, though, they were doing so much damage. I had by far the highest hit points of anybody in my group and was getting dropped in seconds. It was about gear. And it's still, I'm sure, about gear.
Well, and it's about, like, you have to have a speed boost skill. You have to have a temporary invulnerability skill. Because, like, you get hit by a boss once.
Yeah.
And then you're going to die. So... yeah, there's a weird, like, there's sort of a narrowing of what your character options are as you move higher in difficulty in 3. Which is sad. It's sad.
You know, having played the second one recently, I appreciate the changes that they made to the third game a lot more. I'm done with potions. I am so done with potions. Oh, I'm also done with dying and having to run back to my corpse.
To pick up all your stuff.
Because that has actually... There was one time I was playing Diablo 2. I died. I was trying to get back to my corpse. I got ejected from Battle.net.
Yeah.
And that was it. I lost everything. So I'm glad they got rid of that.
Yeah.
They also, in a recent patch for 3, there's no wait time now once you've died repeatedly.
There was a wait time?
Yeah, like if you died like 5 times in a row, there was
time would go up.
Yeah, your resurrection time. They don't...
Oh, good.
Have that.
It was basically to keep people from just like running into boss fights, doing, you know, 2 hits and then resurrecting and running back in.
For 2, anyways, I don't remember 3 as much. I guess because I was playing the Barbarian and I wasn't dying. But in 2, the
rub it in.
I wasn't dying because I'm awesome. It seemed like death and consequence was huge in 2. And that's something that always frustrates me about games, and especially in this one, because, like, right now we've been playing and, you know, I die and it costs me...
Half your gold?
Know, almost half my gold. And it's just like, well, why am I building anything if I... You know, if I do have a challenging thing, it makes me not want to explore. It makes me not want to...
You lose gold in 3, too, don't you? Every time you die.
You lose 10% of your... You have to fix your crap. Your armor, and whatever.
Durability.
Don't you lose gold?
You have that.
No.
Oh.
You know, another problem with that is since you have to run back to your body, said monster that's really strong that killed you is probably still by your body.
Right.
So if you couldn't beat him when you were fully powered up, having no equipment could be an issue.
Yeah.
Just remember all those times of
town,
like,
portals,
running around naked, throwing up a town portal, grabbing your stuff and jumping into it.
Yep.
And then all your gear's in your backpack, but you don't have enough room for it, so some of it just drops on the ground.
Yep. But that always bugged me. Because it reminds me, and this game reminds me a lot of Borderlands. I know Joel's been playing. And it's that same sort of not huge trees, but just, you know, a little bit of customization. But again, in that game, it's like if you die a couple of times, you're really losing a lot of... You know, the money that you've built up, and so it makes me not want to explore and not, you know, want to continue to try.
I don't know, that makes me just think maybe you're not good at the game.
And I'm not good at the game.
I have never had that issue. Like, even if I've lost money, like, even when I've gone into an area that I've explored before, I have to, the map has to be cleared. There's no gray areas on my map before I leave. Like, every time I play the game, like, if there's a level and there's a gray area, I have to go explore that gray area, even if it means I'm going to die.
Yeah. Well, and for most of the time, I'm the same way. I like to really kind of get into the game. But when there's a game that I feel like if I explore too much or if I, you know, take chances, then it's not... You know, then I'm not going to be able to build that character.
Mm-hmm. Right. Like, the game shouldn't punish you.
Right, yeah. I mean, I think there should be consequences. It makes it more challenging. But if I have to be so careful not to die, then I'm not going to enjoy it.
That's why I have not made a hardcore Diablo character that I've played it with any seriousness in since Diablo 2, I think. Like, I made one. I was playing online. And he got killed, and it just made me mad and depressed.
For those of you who don't know, a hardcore character is once they are dead, they are erased. You cannot play them anymore. They have that. Do they have that in the third game?
Yeah, okay. I have a hardcore.
Yeah. Yeah, they do.
I've got some, but they're all really low level.
I want to say, I think mine's up in the 30s now.
That's impressive. You get past a couple of those bosses.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and it's a demon hunter.
So, in reference to all of the games... What's some of your favorite classes to play?
Demon Hunter and the Paladin.
In 3 and 2?
3 and 2.
Paladin, really?
Mm-hmm. I had like a level 54 Paladin.
I don't see you as a Paladin guy. That's
just because you know him too well. It's because you know him too well.
I know him way too well.
My first character was a Paladin. And that's what I... my friend Peter played a Barbarian and I played a Paladin.
Oh, nice.
So...
The first one I've ever played in all the games was the wizard character, or the sorceress, or the... It's always the first one I've ever played.
I would in 2, I never played the source. I would have played a magic character,
I played Barbarian first in this one.
Mm-hmm. But I never, like, the way that... With the only way that you could switch your spell to have it on, like, your...
Left and right.
Your left and right, or your F1 keys, or your circle and your mouse. It just, no. It's too annoying. I need all my spells in front of me in order to be like...
Well, the
play them like a piano.
The fire magic is kind of useless later on. I'm warning you
this
now.
Is true.
But you can respec, so it's okay.
In 3, I really enjoyed playing the Barbarian. The first go-around. And then it was the sorceress.
I remember you dying a lot, though, when we played together.
Well, that's because I didn't know about the gear issues. I was picking up my gear and making my own gear, and you're like, just go to the auction house.
Yeah.
Speaking of spells and stuff, that's one thing that I really liked about 3 over 2 is that I could do more stuff, whereas in 2 it's like, I either hit him or I do this.
Okay, know what pissed me off about 3? Is the fact that you install the game. The game is set up, so you are limited to, like, you could put one of these 4 abilities in this slot. One of these 4 abilities in this slot. But hidden in your options menu is the ability to put any spell you want in any slot.
What?
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
You can customize your skill bar.
You can use, like, all of your Category 1 skills if you want to.
Are you kidding me?
No.
It's not. It's hidden in the options.
Why is that not in the instructions somewhere?
Dumbest design decision. I don't.
It makes it easier. And for a game that's supposed to be more accessible than the second one, at least that's what I think they were going for. I don't know why they hid this. Yeah. When you told me about it, I was angry.
I didn't want my new computer down.
Yeah, you didn't know you could do that?
No.
Yeah.
I wouldn't
have
been.
Did you guys use the option? Because I've never used it.
Oh, you should use it.
Yeah,
I don't have any desire to. I'm perfectly fine with choosing one skill out of each one and using only that one.
But
because like some of those categories, you're gonna have like 2 skills that are really useful.
Yeah,
like 2 skills that are both better than any skill from another category. Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. See, you need to do that head angle thing. They can't hear that.
I don't know. I've never come into a point where I've experienced that I need to have.
Damn it, give it a try.
Load up the character, switch that option off, and see what it's like to be able to pick from any of your abilities.
Where is that option?
It's just somewhere in your like interface options or something.
Okay.
I don't know. Just flip the screens. Back to the question at hand. I really like the Necromancer and the Witch Doctor, mostly because they're cool.
Oh yeah, I did ask that question.
They're kind of dark and sarcastic.
The Witch Doctor, by the time you get them high level, it's ridiculous, the army that you walk around.
But that I'm voice like, acting is just...
awful.
He's a great man.
So he's essentially the necromancer for 3, right?
He is, yes.
I've never
the necromancer
him.
From 2 is in 3.
What?
That is the necromancer, right? The same guy that you run into in the
desert?
Oh,
yeah, like the second act of the desert? Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know.
But yeah, the witch doctor, I mean, like you're just throwing armies of zombie bears at things. Like,
pretty
what's
much.
Not to like? Chris had to sneeze.
I'll edit that
for
out.
For those of you at home.
He's allergic to witch doctors.
No, keep it in.
What do you like from which classes are you a fan of, Rob?
In 3, the barbarian. I did already answer this. The barbarian and the sorceress in 3, and then I love the necromancer and the Amazon in 2.
Amazon, yeah.
All right, I do like the Amazon.
I do.
She's a very good character.
Sean,
The barbarian, and I usually play like with WoW and Old Republic and some of those other games. I kind of like the DPS kind of character that stays back and can control certain aspects. But for this game, I liked just running in there. For 3, I loved the little spin move. I like just being a spinning dervish death. Just, you know, going through the thing. I don't know. I usually don't play the tank, but on this one I liked it.
Man, there is no love for the assassin or demon hunter. The assassin.
I have a level 55 demon hunter.
I do like the demon hunter.
I would love
it. I do.
It's my main in 3.
I've got a demon hunter that
absolutely
I really
love
enjoy.
It.
Well,
but it's just not my
favorite. Those lightning strikes with the sorcerer's rock.
I tried the Demon Hunter, but I had too much trouble with it. Like, I felt like I just kept trying to jump out of combat too much. But I think it was more of just I didn't have the skill for it.
Well, I also play it differently. I don't use any of her bolt. I don't use the bolt. I don't use Shadow Step. Mm-hmm. I use...
These are all skills for those of you who
I
haven't played the game.
I use Rapid Shot. And then I have...
Yeah, you get those, like, poison bolas going. That's
yep. I have, like, a shadow power which regenerates my life. I have I use the companion, I use the turret, and I use Reign of Vengeance.
It's a class that, like, you can play just flat-out offensive.
I do like all the classes in this game. My least favorite is the Witch Doctor. But I do like all of the classes.
What about the second game?
Second game, I did not like all of the classes. Aww. I did not like the Druid.
Oh, I love the Druid. I
hated the Druid. I actually didn't like either one of them. I didn't like the druid
or
the assassin. Didn't like either one of them.
The problem I had with that is, like, when you got to the druid, of like, what am I going to choose? You know? Because I had no idea what I wanted. Because turning into a bear sounds awesome. How could it not?
True. Or so, Wolverine or whatever the other thing
is. Yeah.
You know, the problem with the druid, although they may have fixed this, is when the druid first came out, his magic completely made the sorceress useless. Because his magic was so powerful.
It
was really, really kind of awesome. And if you ever had a druid and a necromancer playing together, you just had an army.
I almost always play the necromancer in 2.
That's what I'm playing right now.
Yeah.
Because it's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I feel like in 2, like, the necromancer, like... Plus, you've played it before, so you have a little more experience, but I feel like I would just be dying all the time if I wasn't playing with a necromancer, because there's that army there so that my little barbarian can run in, punch somebody twice.
See, I feel the opposite, because I have all these little guys who are just holding them at bay until you can come in and kill them in 2 hits. Because I have to strike something like 15 times for it to die.
Sweet.
And then I see you come in and do that weird exercise move and they die.
Boy, I wish you could have seen what he did there.
Yeah.
Kind of makes me want to play a paladin again.
I've never played with a paladin.
We're all going to go back and play 2 again,
Can we have 5 people in a game?
I have no idea.
Can we get up to 4?
You can get 5.
Four.
I think you
well,
can have
5.
Well,
there we go.
Are we playing this tonight?
Screw this. Let's all go home.
I got my laptop. Let's
start a game.
I have to go install it on the new computer.
I think I can run it on this, right?
No, I can't. You can do it on a smartphone, so...
I kind of want to play this now, so...
It's good. I kind of want to play 3, though. Like, playing 2 again has made me...
I can't play 3!
Oh, well, get your video card.
The thing of it is, I think that as you go... Like, I'm in Inferno now with my Demon Hunter in 3, and it's now is the point where I'm like, wow, this is getting tough. I've died more in Inferno than I have ever had before.
Oh, I die like, especially as the Barbarian, I die like it's my job.
But...
You know, there's one big complaint about 3 that we haven't addressed that I'm going to just put out there and see what you think. I felt the 4th act was way too short. Like, yeah. Suddenly they just ran out of steam. That's the act where you go to heaven.
You're done in like 20 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah. In fact, I think we were playing together, and we were surprised that we beat the game.
Yeah. It only takes you about an hour to get through the...
In fact, did I turn to you and say, are we about to fight the last person?
I think so.
And then I was like, did we just beat the game?
So...
Did you guys beat Diablo the first time through?
Yeah. It was really easy.
Yeah. The easiest fight.
Well, once again, you're on the first level. It was...
Who was the hardest fight for you guys?
It was a cakewalk for the most part.
In three, man.
Well, it depends on my character, but...
It's what's his name at the end of the desert.
Act two.
I had such a hard time with him with the wizard.
Yeah.
But with the barbarian, who was a piece of cake. First time through, got him.
You were a barbarian.
Well, that's because, you know what it is? Is you're standing right next to him and hitting him, so all the health drops right on you.
Yeah.
If you're playing a character who's attacking from range and moving around, dodging that stupid acid, whatever it is.
Yeah, I forgot about the health orbs. I like that so much better because, I was in two like that I've been playing. I just feel like I'm constantly drinking these potions. Like, he's a freaking alcoholic running out there with a bottle in one hand and a sword in the other, and it just...
I do miss spamming the potion button, but because you can't do that at three.
Yeah, you can, huh?
Yeah. But as a barbarian in three, the guy with the mouth on his stomach gave me a little trouble.
Oh, because he had to stand in his poison.
Yeah,
plan. Yeah,
yeah.
The stomach. Jeez. The two hardest parts that I remember most: the butcher and the second part of Diablo.
The butcher on Nightmare pisses me off.
Well, he's rough until you get used to him. It's just dodge.
Right.
There's a joke in there somewhere.
You just take him out a few times, buy him some wine.
Yeah.
Rough until you get to him.
Nice.
But yeah, those little, the Diablo, like, those shadow levels.
Yeah, like when you go into the shadow levels, I don't...
start getting hit with your own skills.
Yeah, right. That sucks. But he's specced completely different. Like, I felt like I should be paying attention to how he was specced. Like, wait, is there a key in there somewhere? Is this, like, the ultimate spec for this character?
It reminded me, there's a dungeon in World of Warcraft where you had to fight copy of yourself, which I always died in because I could never...
Because he thinks just like you, anyway, Joel. He's you.
He's exceedingly powerful.
He's a monster.
It reminded me of that when I played it.
Well, how much of this game didn't remind you of World of Warcraft?
Three or two?
Three.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like they took a lot
from World of Warcraft. Similar World of Warcraft.
Yeah.
Like, if you just want to play an action thing instead of...
Like, literally, when I found out that there was going to be an auction house, I was not happy.
Yeah. It got the tone... Something happened to the tone of the game. It's still not as lighthearted as World of Warcraft, but they pulled back, I felt, a little bit. I don't know. It just got so...
Come on, kill Deckard!
It got blockbustery. Which I don't think the game needed to, like, shove it in your face how awesome it was. Did anyone else get that
no,
feeling?
No, I wanted that. I wanted the big grand, especially in the third one. Yeah. Especially because, like, when you go from one to two, the cinematics from one to two are amazingly different. And then I kind of wanted that, especially after 11 years. I wanted more. I did.
Okay.
Plus... Unicorn Rainbow Fantasyland.
Level. Oh my god, that place is awesome! So awesome!
It's
awesome.
I haven't gone to this. What?
It's crazy.
The only reason I've gone to it is because they
have it. It's called Whimsicalville or something like this. Whimsyshire. So in two, you had the magic cow level, which was all you fought a bunch of cows, essentially.
To the cow king.
There's a cow level in one,
too.
Also.
Yeah, there is a cow level
in one. Oh, yeah, there's a cow level in one, which I haven't played. But in two, now it's like. In Whimsyshire, you fight unicorns and teddy bears and flowers. And, like, there's nothing as hilarious as having a teddy bear or a unicorn body, like, exploding and flying up at your camera.
There's so much blood. There's so much blood for these teddy bears.
It's like watering your way through an episode of Care Bears.
Essentially. With, like, Care Bear music going along with it.
There's clouds that you click that give treasure, I think. It's an acid.
There's something about that. Touch a cloud, gives a smiley face, and gives you cash.
Yes.
Mm. I'm sold. I'm in.
Alright.
It's expensive to get there.
Well, we are reaching near the end of our podcast.
That's true, it is. Yes.
I've got just a couple questions left and final thoughts. So I'll go in and ask now, what is your favorite game in the series?
Three.
Three?
Yeah. After talking about it, three.
Yeah, I think I might have to go with 3. I mean, there are things about 2 that I think are better than 3. But 3, you can do a little bit more. Yeah. I think the narrative is more personal. Like, it's not just this stuff is happening and you've got to come up behind it and destroy it. But there's more, you know, there's central characters that are dying and there's people that you want to protect. And there's, you know, it's not just, oh, we've got to stop evil because it's evil.
We'll keep talking. No. I was going to talk about the followers in 3, which I appreciate
they're actually helpful.
They are helpful, and they gave them personalities, some of which are really annoying, sure. But some are really fascinating. So, anyway, back to the question.
Honestly, for me, it's always about the story. So I can't really say that like I like a game better than another game, but there are moments in each of them that I love, like. End of Diablo 1, your character shoves that soul stone into his forehead. And, you know...
the end of Diablo 2.
Diablo 3. just before you head to heaven, and suddenly, like, everybody's betrayed, and people are dying left and right, and Diablo is returned. You're like, where did this come from? Because I just remember I was playing the game, and I was like, man, it kind of feels like I'm done. And then there's blood all over the fortress. You know?
I'd have to say 3, but 2 is very... Like, has that nostalgic quality to it that now talking about it, I'm like, ooh, if I went back and played 2 just recently, and then 3, I'd be like, I'm not sure which I'd be able to choose.
Can I make a random... Or ask a random question?
Sure. Have
you ever played Torment?
No, huh?
You should.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Yeah. Or Torchlight.
I have played Torchlight. I played Torchlight too.
Torchlight's like, yeah.
Torchlight is what you do when you were waiting for Diablo 3.
Yes. Yeah, well.
All right. My next question. Is there anything Blizzard needs to fix about Diablo? Have they lost sight of anything? Is there anything they need to change to make this better for you?
The randomness, definitely.
Okay.
Just so it doesn't feel like I'm playing the same thing over and over and over and over again.
Yeah.
I would love to see added to Diablo 3 as it is now. Like, I feel like it's a great, like, storyline, but I would love to see just some, like, randomly generated kind of explorable world maps where you can just go out and do things that are not plot related.
Any extra classes? You think 5 is too few, or...
I think they've pretty well covered things. I bet they're going to throw 2 more on
there. They probably will. There's
some kind of a knight coming back.
I would love to see a paladin again. I would go after a paladin again, sure.
More everyday people, like a farmer, a clerk.
I'm a Fletcher. I'm here to help you.
I'm here to make stuff for you. I'm here to balance your books. You're spending too much gold.
Is there anything that they could change or fix about the series that you feel needs to be fixed?
I think the randomness also. I mean, it's kind of weird for me going to 2 after having played 3.
Oh, right.
But because when I would repeat a level or something with 3, I felt more like, oh, I already did this. Whereas with 2, if I'm repeating something, it's not repeating. It's just doing something different. And so I can imagine that. Because I hate grinding, and I hate the fact that, and I think this game, you know, does that to a certain amount in World of Warcraft, and when you're, the victory definitely goes to the person who committed the most time to just sitting there grinding, and I'd rather get through the story, and I'd rather do that kind of stuff, and so, so I like 2 about randomness.
Joel?
I would have to say the randomness. I appreciate when I notice something different in 3, but I could certainly have more randomness. If we could take away some of the gear issue to a degree, so that you're not so depending on the auction house. But in regards to that as well, when you get jewel crafting high enough, you can put like the highest level jewel into anything.
Oh yeah, true.
Which is
and get it back out.
Helpful.
Yeah,
When it comes to that, and I feel like if those things would be actually helpful in some
make
way,
your crafting
you,
really
yeah, make
useful.
Your crafting worthwhile instead of just like build it up. So then by the time you get high enough level and high enough gold, then you can buy awesome stuff with it. But
cool. Well, we're at the hour mark. Any other comments or anything we didn't cover that you guys like to talk about? I mean, we've still got a little time here. So
I had a quick question. You didn't say which you thought, Chris, you liked most.
Oh, which one do I like? Which game do I like the most?
Or the question we all answered.
I tell you what. I can say this. Thank you. I wish they could bring back some of the skill systems that they had in the second game into the third one. Because, I mean, obviously the presentation of the third game is great. I wish they could just kind of merge 2 and 3. Because there are some facets about 3 that I do really enjoy, but there's some things about 2 I really enjoy. So, yeah, I think for me, if there was a Diablo 4, it would be that merger of those two. It's kind of a cheap answer, but it's what I think. So.
Oh my god, you guys. We did not talk about Wirt at all.
Oh, how did we not talk about Wirt?
I've got his leg in my inventory.
Who?
He was in Diablo 1. He was this random kid on the edge of town who would sell you like unidentified gear for exorbitant amounts of money, and every once in a while it would be something amazing. Okay. Like that was the gold sink in the first game.
He was a little kid.
He had a wooden leg.
Okay. He gets killed and you find his body in the second game, and when you click on it, all of these items drop and all of this gold just comes pouring out of his body. I don't know how, but you also get his leg.
Which is then used to like make some awesome thing.
It also gets you to the cow level.
That's a component of the cow level. And then in the third one, it's Wirt's bell.
Yeah.
Which you can buy.
Which
get you
one of the things.
Right.
Cow level.
We'll get you to this.
You know, somehow we went through and we did not mention Deckard Cain.
I mentioned Deckard.
There's one of the things I miss. I miss the Herodric Cube. It was a pain in the ass.
You found the Herodric
but
Cube.
But I miss having the Herodric Cube and like
that was really
and
cool.
Putting everything together. Because I mean, now with jewel crafting, it's the same thing, but now you pay an exorbitant amount of money and a tome and a piece of paper and whatever the hell else.
Except just whatever I make sucks. And I never use it.
Why did I do that?
So
you know, there's one other character that pops up quite a bit in the second and third game, especially the third game, is Tyriel.
I liked
what they did with Tyriel.
He's a nice guy.
Yeah.
He wasn't in the second one, but it was because it wasn't him.
No,
I liked
it. It was him.
At the end, it wasn't him, yeah.
I liked
him
in the second one, yes. I'm not so much of a fan in the third.
Because he wants to save humanity?
He's human?
No, not because he wants to save humanity. It's just because I would have much rather... It would have changed the complete whole storyline of the third one, but I would have preferred to see him someone else.
Right.
I don't like what he does. I don't like the fact that he's the guy that comes down, whatever else. But he's a major part of it, you know. But I just would have preferred to see.
I felt like at the end of two, like he's sacrificed himself and his power to like save the world from the forces of hell. Mm-hmm. Okay, respect that. Don't, you know, give him back everything in the third game.
Right.
It's about choices.
It's about the choices we make, angel or demon. What?
I'm sorry, Mass Effect just popped in.
Okay, we're not talking about Mass Effect. Great, well, any last thoughts or anything that you guys wish to plug? Any other podcasts or... All right. Will, if you want to learn more about the Diablo series, the best place to check it out is Blizzard's website. You can still buy these games today, and they have gone through and patched some of them, so they will run on Windows 7. I don't know about Windows 8, but you can still buy them.
Nothing runs on Windows 8.
And there's one thing I'll say about Blizzard that I really like. I still have my CD versions of these games. So when I went to their website, I was able to register it. Now I can download Diablo 2 whenever I want, wherever I want, because it's taken my CD key and added it to their database. So they're essentially running a similar thing like Steam now, which is great.
Which is how I have StarCraft.
It's how I have StarCraft.
Yeah.
But I would check out Blizzard's website if you wish to know more. I would also check out IGN.com. It's a gaming website. They do a lot of coverage on PC gaming, and they have a couple of great articles on there about Diablo 3 specifically. Oh, Joel has something.
Sony announced that Diablo 3 is coming to the console.
I know, I saw that.
Yes.
So, oh, and Pete's face.
It is. That just seems. That's.
I have to agree with Pete. I don't know what the. Seems like a bad move. I think it's a bad move, but whatever.
Is it supposed to be cross play? Like
I don't know. I don't know whether you could play it on a PS4 and then on a computer and play it together. It's going to be PS3 and PS4.
It's coming to 3 and 4. So either they're going to up the graphics and spend time doing that to make it look better on 4, or they're just going to port what they already have to 3, then why even bring it to 4?
I think it's that you're going to run into control issues there.
I think so too. Mm-hmm.
Like, they ported StarCraft to the Nintendo 64 back in the day, and that was not a good idea
at
all.
Did they really?
They also ported Diablo, the first game, to PlayStation.
Was that two words then?
Yeah. No, just this. I really emphasize it. I really emphasize it when I'm talking about the first game.
Because it blows?
No. Yeah, there's some strange ports coming. So
thank you for joining us for a very special 2-hour Diablo
podcast. Yeah. And we're only at a minute six. An hour six. Thank you for joining us for the Nerd Outcast podcast. I have been your host, Chris Bashan, and with me tonight are...
Joel Thompson.
Pete Davis.
Rob Shoemate.
Sean Okerberg.
Thank you for listening.